Fantastic. Okay, so
Okay,
Joan,
come back.
over to you.
So I started to say that jumping ahead from the beginnings in 93, we didn't even have the concept of sobriety until 1995. It took us 2 years to work that out, what we were actually doing in being sober. The sobriety is surrender came to us in 95, and it came to us through one of our pioneering members who was in hospital, and it just evolved that it just one day I just said to her, you need to let the dietitian feed you. And that was in 95. So it was 2 years after we started. And it was after that that we worked out the preamble for meetings, and we took the name Anorexics and Bulimics Anonymous. And see, I had gotten to the 12 steps in 94. I was now doing those steps, and I was slowly being changed by my higher power. But I can tell you, it was not tidy and it was not pretty. And I remained very unpretty and untidy for a very long time. My next venture into service work came when we recognized we had experience, strength, and hope to offer to the world, and we wanted to publish a book. So since I was the published author, they asked me to do the writing, and I started drafting chapters. I think it was probably 99 that we started this process, and we had a committee, and we came together. And the one member who I mentioned earlier had come across the concept of sobriety as surrender and having meal support. She hated what I had written. She absolutely hated it. And I was so hurt and upset and angry and resentful that I just took the whole project and I shoved it on the shelf, and I never called another committee meeting. That went on for about a year or two. During that year or two, I relapsed. So that's what happens when you rebel and ego gets in the way, which is mostly all the time for me. My ego was in the way. I wanted everybody to admire what I had written, and she didn't like it. She had given me written comments, and I just stuck those on the shelf along with everything else. I did nothing about the book for about 2 years. Then in 2002, I had a really major relapse, not into anorexia, but into another addiction. And I came back from that crawling on my hands and knees, biting the dust. And my sponsor said to me, Joan, I want you to work the program again, and I want you to start from step one, and I want you to work it with the I am powerless. We were powerless over our self-will that our lives had become unmanageable. And it was that in the summer of 2002 that allowed me to finally take the final stage of getting sober. And I've been sober since 2002, believe it or not, July. And what came to me was to surrender, not just my food, but to surrender to God and say, okay, God, you win. I will let this book be what you want it to be instead of what I want it to be. And I got out the pages and I started writing again, and I looked at the material she had given me. And by gum, it was really good stuff. She had some really good stuff in there. My whole attitude towards it had changed. I started writing feverishly, like I was on fire, basically. I couldn't stop writing. I was writing day and night in every spare moment. I was just writing, writing, writing. And the whole book, part one, was written inside of about a month. And using the materials that we had from before and the material that she had given me, and we had a committee, and I took it to the committee, and we revised. And that was September that we were having these committee meetings. And by November, anybody who's ever done any writing knows this is completely impossible. But by November, we had published the book. It was actually in print by November of 2002. So that's how fast it worked. And that's to tell you that this was God at work, okay? With such an imperfect tool as me, God was able to do this because we needed this book. And it was published and printed. We got the books in November. And I had basically written the thing in August and revised, you know, edited people's stories for part two and so on and so on. So it was quite the process. What I learned is this is about God, and I needed to learn to rely on God and to depend on God and to stop relying on myself. I needed to know that I needed God. Without the knowledge that I need God, I'm never going to find God. I'm not going to seek God if I don't know that I need God. And for me, that's always been about being broken in two or more pieces, just in smithereens on the floor. So I've done other service work since then. I stayed on the literature committee for 18 years. It was long until the second edition was published in December of 2020. And then I resigned from that committee. It's time for other people to be on that committee and doing the work of the literature committee. So mostly my service today is with sponsees. I love working one-on-one with sponsees, and my sponsees are my lifeline. They are my connection to God. And I am so grateful to them for continuing to put up with me. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joan. Okay, fantastic. So we are now on to some more questions and answers. So we're going back to Bongi. He gave a brilliant share about doing service in her first year. So Bongi, what is it like starting service so early in recovery?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Bongi Anorex Kim Nemig. What is it like starting? It's gonna get me emotional. I've been a bit on an emotional roller coaster this whole workshop, I think. Because I think the way that I'm feeling now, which is hard to find the words for, but probably gratitude is the closest one to it. Is very much kind of that feeling is, I think, what kept me coming back. And I think doing service very much shares that feeling. I got sober at a time in my life where I was very broken. And I think I very much, in the first few months of getting sober and doing meal support, I felt very kind of engulfed by grief and grieving my disease, grieving kind of the patterns that I'd been using for so long, grieving people, personal relationships. And I think, I don't know like how I did it, but somehow it happened. But kind of in that, kind of created the opportunity to do service. And you know, in hindsight, I'm very grateful for also my sponsor suggesting me that. And I think by doing service, and not just, you know, chair finder, which is what I started with, but also just chairing in meetings, I think that is probably kind of the very much the part of service and part of this program that, I mean, saved my life. I think kind of getting to that point of vulnerability, which was very much also with doing service and kind of the service position, kind of the vulnerability kind of that I really had to learn and still continue to learn, in the sense that I'm not perfect, which my head hates to hear. But you know, and I think it's kind of just that how humble it is to now be able to tell myself and also be able to hear from other people and my higher power that I'm not perfect. So the only thing I can do is my best. And I think, I mean, just the feeling of being a part of something that is greater than myself and greater than my disease and greater than any thought or insecurity or, you know, character defects, selfishness, whatever I have, I mean, I'm too tired to cry, but it's very much like that's the emotions that kind of, you know, are coming up, because I think it's just a continued miracle for me. And I think I remember, especially doing service while doing meal support, I think that was a big one for me, because I think meal support and kind of that struggle of, you know, all the emotions that were coming up with that, and kind of how hard my disease was fighting that and fighting me getting sober, kind of simultaneously doing, you know, service and kind of getting to know the program in that, on that level, and getting to know people in a different way, I think is kind of just I didn't think it was possible for me. I think, thank you, Becca. Sorry, I don't know how long you had your hand up, but it's I think I just never, I was so full of self-hatred. And I think by doing service and still doing and continue to do it, and especially, you know, now being newcomer rep, I think talking to people who are at a place where I was at that time, and sometimes still feel at, but especially in the beginning of my recovery, and kind of the kind of back and forth of me, what I get out of it is seeing, like, my God, what is it, a miracle that I've gotten through that and I'm here now, and then seeing the miracle that that's also happening for other people around me that are very dear to me, even if I don't know them personally that well, but just because I can see, like, I can, you know, you can kind of see that miracle happening, and seeing kind of how it just continues to happen, and how, like, my higher power continues to grant me these miracles by doing service and kind of just, you know, throwing my hands up and just tell, like, this is the best I can do, and that being enough. Yeah, I mean, that's just the biggest miracle for me. And I think doing service just definitely saved my life, and it continues just to give me just moments where I'm, like, in awe of this program, definitely. Also by seeing other people in service, I often tell myself, like, I was sitting on my bedroom floor and I was like, what I was just thinking about the program. It was just so, like, amazing to me that there's not even words for it, which I think says enough. So yeah, I'm just very grateful for being able to be a part of this program in any way that I can. I'll leave it there.
Thank you so much. Great. Okay, over to Alison. Over to Tiffany first. So what made you decide to be chair of the virtual retreat this year?
Thanks, Becca. I got a real kick out of this question, and you'll hear why in my share. But so last year I was on the retreat committee. There was a member who was showing up every week at my home group and announcing it, and finally I just heard it enough where I was like, yeah, like I have, you know, like I want to be a part of that, and I have the time and space to do that, and I got to be a part of the committee, and I got to, you know, get to know a few of you who are on this call, and a few who aren't. And it was a really great experience to just get to connect with people from all over the world and put on our virtual retreat back in the fall and be a part of that, and then get to meet, like, so many more of you who I see again now and have kept in touch with since. And so we were having our, and I guess I should also preface this with, we were having our kind of retreat wrap-up meeting to talk about, you know, this upcoming year's retreat and like start to look at a committee for that and elect the next chair. And I was at a point where I was doing a lot of service in both of my programs and sponsoring women in both of my programs. And I was also really grappling, you know, as we stay sober and peel back the onion, like the in the layers, right? Like we get the opportunity to walk through stuff, right? And to feel feelings that come up. And for me, what was coming up at that point in my recovery was a number of mental health disorders that were not new, but they were coming up in a new way. And I was really struggling to kind of navigate that. And I just didn't feel, I really felt like I was at my, like I didn't have the space to take care of myself, right? And my sponsor had suggested that if I got asked to be of service, or if I got asked to sponsor someone, that I pause and I pray and I invite God into it, right? And what had been my experience before that was like, growing up in AA, like you just say yes, right? Like you just show up and do the thing. And that has worked for me, really well most of the time. But for the first time in my recovery, like I really needed to practice not doing that right away and to practice pausing. So like a week later, we're in this wrap-up meeting for the retreat. And Dawn says, like, who wants to do the chair for next year? And my hand just like pops up and nobody else raised their hand. And so then immediately everyone in the meeting's like, great, Tiffany, thank you so much. We're so excited to have you chair the retreat. And I'm like, how did that happen? Right. It's like, this is like the case in point of like, how character defects like show up, right? Is like, just, there's no second thought there. Right. And so we were at the end of our meeting and we wrapped up the meeting and I think I called my sponsor after that. And I said, I just put my hand up and got voted in to chair this retreat. And I'm going to have to call them. Thanks, Beck. I'll wrap it up. And I'm going to have to call them and tell them I can't do it. And my sponsor said, give it a month, like set it aside, give it to God, give it a month. And like, let's circle back. And week after week, like we have a Tuesday check-in, and every week when I called her, I would say, I've given this some thought and I really don't think I'm going to do it. She'd say, hey, you made a commitment to like give it a month, right? Like, let's just sit on it. And this went on up until like the very end of that month. And I was actually on a phone call with Tash. It was New Year's Day, I remember. And we had this lovely phone conversation. And somewhere in that conversation, I had this realization that being a part of the retreat had given me the opportunity to get close to so many of you, right? And it had expanded my ABA community, and it had made me feel closer to this program, right? And like thereby closer to God. And I knew in that moment that I was going to do it, and that I was going to show up, and that I, could trust that I would be given what I need to show up. And so like 3 days later, that was like the month is up, and I called my sponsor and I said, I'm going to do this retreat, it was just, it was like, I think it's such a good example of how higher power works in my life, right? Like it's not up to me, and it doesn't have to be up to me, and things still work out exactly as they're supposed to. And I'm given what I need to walk through it. So yeah, looking forward to next year's retreat.
Amazing. And same here. And I can't wait for when it's potentially in person again, somewhere in the world. so I can meet some of these lovely people. Okay, great. So Alison, your question is, how does the Public Information Committee carry the message?
Great. Yeah, thank you, Becca. Alison Anorexic. The Public Information Committee has been such a joy, as was shared earlier, to be a part of, because to me it's a really beautiful extension of our mission to carry the message to the anorexic or bulimic who still suffers, but also in a way that, obviously we want to keep within the tradition of, it's about you know, public relations policy is about attraction, not promotion. So, you know, it's been really beautiful to be part of a committee where we sort of like help each other, you know, stick to that. And you know, there's a group conscience that guides our work. Because otherwise, you know, I'm just out there in danger of evangelizing, right? And it's like, we don't need that. You know, AA has lots to say on its bitter experience of doing that. So it's beautiful to work with a team of people who, you know, have so many different backgrounds and experience in terms of carrying a message and working with different groups of people from different areas of life in service of ABA, so that, you know, more people are aware that there is a solution that exists. So being strategic in our very like slow-paced, mindful way about finding ways to, you know, make ABA more accessible, more available, and carry that message to places where people like us, you know, are looking for it and looking for a solution. So, you know, some of the work we've done has been as simple as connecting with doctor's offices or like health clinics or like student you know, services and stuff to leave literature there for people who might be looking for information for groups, right? You know, connecting with places that have databases of health services and resources so that ABA might be listed there where appropriate. You know, and other projects we've had have included creating documents to help guide our efforts in interacting with the public, right? People who don't know about ABA, but are in the business of helping people get well, or teachers and, you know, things like that. So we've created documents to help guide those efforts so that we can, again, have that group conscience guiding us through like a black and white document, as opposed to going out there. Again, our experience has taught us a lot, and reaching out to some of these individuals or places and finding ourselves a little bit unsupported, you know, not really knowing where to go with that. So it's really great to be able to help create those documents out of our experience and following the guidance of, you know, our grandfather program, AA. And then most recently, we've been working on connecting with some, you know, some treatment centers and facilities worldwide on a global scale to find places where we can connect and leave some of our newly published ABA textbooks for people who are, again, looking for a solution, who would be interested in maybe a longer term relationship with ABA to stay in contact. And again, just give people, you know, more doors, wider doors open to join and find a solution that works, to be able to share our experience and carry that message. It's we're a small committee, but honestly, there's so much joy to be had at every meeting. We have lots of laughter. We have lots of very serious moments where we're having to look at different things and problem solve, but always welcome to new members. We love all the input we've had over the years from different people, and so it's definitely a nice soft landing if you're looking for a committee to join. And there's, again, it's a place where there are so many different levels of legwork you can do to be of service without, you know, having to worry about this big, huge commitment. So yeah, it's been a real joy. I love being a part of it. And yeah, strongly recommend for anyone who's looking for a place to be of service and carry the message. So yeah, I think that answers the question. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes me want to join in. So thank you very much. Okay, great. So our final kind of panel question is to Shaheen, who is actually going to speak alongside Amy in a second about board level experience. So we've had group level, committee level, and GSR, and board level. So Shaheen, please introduce yourself and say what continues to inspire you to serve this membership.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shaheen, anorexic compulsive overeater and a binge eater. Of course, I'm the last person to get this, to get a question, and everybody has spoken so eloquently that I really don't have much to say, actually. But I guess what I would say is, to start off with, this is more than a membership to me. Membership makes it, depersonalizes it for me. This is my family. This is like where I grew up and continue to grow up. This is where I get to learn about myself. ABA is, it's my sanity. It's my place of hope. It's where I see my higher power a lot of the time. So it's a link to my higher powers. So I think for me, it's more deeply rooted than just this membership. These are my brothers and sisters in recovery. And I know without them, without you guys, I don't know if I would still be here, you know? And so for me, it's more than just the membership. And, you know, to be a little bit selfish as well, you know, I'm not that guru type. I'm really not. I'm very selfish still. It keeps me sober. You know, being of service is for me as much as it is for the next person, or for the person I'm speaking with. It's about getting out of this head, not necessarily going into someone else's head, because it's dangerous in anybody's head if you have an eating disorder, but to get out of this head and to kind of be there for somebody else in a very peer relationship. It's magical. Like, it's magical. And that's where the miracle is for me. The miracle is between me and another person. And that miracle is my higher power. And if I'm grounded in my recovery and I'm being of service, I'm kind of outside of myself. And that allows my higher power to come in and you know, muck out the stall, as they say in the UK. And I can't do that because I've tried. I've tried my whole life to fix me. And my way didn't get me very far. And as someone used to say to me, or they used to call me a rebel without a clue. Now, I resented that because I thought I had a lot of clues about a lot of things. And today I embrace that because that is who I am. I know very little about a lot of things. And that is amazing. Because that means my higher power is working on removing that ego. And I did service work a lot early on because of my ego. And yes, it did help my sobriety because it got me out of myself, but it also helped me, as others have said, to see my defects of character. But being the willful person I am, it took many, 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 many years, decade over, for that arrogance to kind of slowly and gradually get lifted and then come back and then get lifted and then come back. And that's the joy for me of doing service work is, you know, as others have said, see my own defects, but also see my strengths, see other people's growth and have that reflected for me. Cause I don't often see my own growth. I don't get to experience that, right? Cause I'm in my life. But I get to see that when I'm in contact, connection with another person. So that's what inspires me to continue to be of service because I need you guys and I can't do it alone. And I know that. And if ABA is not there, I don't know what I would do. Hope that answers the question.
It absolutely does. Yes. And as a UK, a British citizen, yeah, I don't know if I've heard that phrase, the UK phrase, but maybe.
My sister uses it all the time and she lives there. So I just put it on her as having
fun. Amazing. Amazing. I'll start using it. Okay, fantastic. We're into the final, board level panel. So Shaheen, I'll ask you to share back in a second. But before we have Amy, to answer the three questions: how long have you been in the program, how long have you been doing service, and what has service meant to your recovery? Over to you.
Thanks, Becca. So I'll just say I'm Amy Anorexic again, and to answer those questions, I've been part of the program, I think it was 2004. It's a little fuzzy. It was a very fuzzy time for me because I was starving myself. But it was, I believe it was 2004 when I came to ABA, and I kind of languished in the fellowship for a while because I wasn't really ready to let go of my eating disorder. And I got got mad at ABA and I'd leave and I'd come back and then I'd get mad and I'd leave. And finally, I bumped into someone in the fellowship and I said, I just don't feel a part of things. And she said, Amy, start going to meetings regularly because you don't, and start doing service and things will change for you. So I did those two things, and I decided to help with the first international conference, which was held at a retreat center in Edmonton. And then everything worked as she said, like I started to feel a part of, instead of so separate from everyone. And it was just a beautiful experience for me working on that conference together. And I remember the conference was at this beautiful retreat center, and it was just an amazing experience being with everyone face to face. And I remember that I went into that conference being totally terrified to work the steps. And then while there, I had a spiritual shift where I was like, I said to my sponsor who was there, I'm ready to work the steps, bring them on. And of course, working the steps totally changed my life. So I continued to do service and to keep serving on the retreat, because the conference and retreat committee, it, you do both those things. And I continued to work on the retreat committee, and then eventually started chairing it. And it just totally kept me afloat. Like I can remember at one point I was in a psych hospital for 3 months and I chaired the retreat committee while in that psych hospital. I remember, you know, being in the common, this little booth where we had access to a telephone, and I was chairing the retreat committee and I was like, okay, what did I just say? And somebody would remind me, but it just kept me connected and kept me afloat and gave me a purpose. And yeah, it was like an umbilical cord, right? Like it just so saved my butt, because I think there was little opportunities for me to maybe check out again, and I didn't, because I was connected to ABA through service. So I just continued to do service through the retreat committee for the most part, and then some other committees, like I said. And so service has really meant just keeping me so, like other people have said so beautifully, through working the steps, I want to give back to this fellowship. And that's what service allows me to do. And then I have all these relationships with people. And so if I need help, I have a bad day or I have a question, or then I'm connected to people already. And I have already formed relationships, which is such a gift for my recovery. So it continues to be the biggest area, biggest tool that I use to keep my recovery strong. And then it's through that. And now having sponsees and things like that, that help me to, you know, to remember to use the tools that I talk about, you know, that I encourage others to use, and things like that. It is our most powerful tool. And and to me, I have experienced that on a day-to-day basis. So I'm so grateful for this fellowship that helps me to work the program that ultimately saves my life. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And last but no means least, Shaheen, would you be able to share on the same three questions? How long have you been in the program? How long have you been doing service? And what has service meant for your recovery?
Oh, sure. Boy, I have been in and out of service or of ABA since I think 93, 94. So I don't know, 26 years, something like that, in and out. I've been in and sober in ABA for 16 years. And, you know, service for me began very, very early. It was something that was drilled into me because I come from a helping profession. And so I wanted to help everybody. And being in a treatment center, I think I, for the first 6 months, people have probably heard this, sorry. For the first 6 months of being in treatment, I paid $1,400 a month to go there, but I was the counselor. So that was how I did service. Very arrogant, very ego-oriented. And one of the actual counselors in that treatment center told me to knock it off. She's the one that called me the rebel without a clue. Anyway, so she actually had me start service very early because she knew, being a helping professional herself, how crazy I could become if I continued being a counselor there. And so service for me started with some of the stuff people have already talked about, like sharing a meeting, helping set up for a meeting, helping, you know, take things down for a meeting, sharing my story, you know, welcoming the newcomer, you know, being the welcomer. I mean, this was early, early, early on. One of the biggest places that I was able to be of service was driving people. I would drive people to meetings. And oh my God, what a gift that was. I have relationships with people that have spanned 16 years because of that. Like just giving a ride every week to the same people helped me create a relationship with them. And again, got me out of my own head, right? And then when I was in, you know, middle recovery, I started presenting at conferences and retreats. I started sponsoring and taking outreach calls and 12-step calls. I started presenting at treatment centers, and I remember being asked to share at a post-secondary university classroom, and, you know, having to go through all of that with the sponsor and talk about it and get clear on what, but it was just about sharing my story, right? Not necessarily about ABA. And that's okay for me to do. I can break my own anonymity, but nobody else's, right? And it was profound. It was profound for me to share at that level to a group of nurses, knowing that, you know, they have a different perspective than they would from a medical viewpoint, right? Oh, I hope you guys can still hear me. Okay, so excellent. And then all, you know, later as I got a little bit more sober and a little bit more sane, I think, I was a group rep for my group. And that was an amazing, amazing experience. Because I got to know I didn't know how big ABA had gotten, right? Until I became the group rep and I got to hear about, you know, meetings and to places that I would never have imagined, you know. I was a director on the GFA board. I worked as a secretary on the board, vice president. I was an acting president for a short while. And I would say my biggest points of service at this point is being a sponsor, being available for reach out. And, you know, I took on the position of operations manager for the General Service Association. Again, I don't know if Tiffany said, you know, putting her hand up. Oh my God, I actually did that when this was happening at a board meeting. You know, it was, the question was asked, well, who can do this? And my hand went up. And afterwards I looked around and I said to the person beside me, did I actually do that? Did I actually put my hand up? Can I take it back? Like, please. And to me, that was a higher power moment. So all of this experience and service is higher power moment for me. And today I give 5 hours weekly of service, as an operations manager as well. And why do I do that? Someone said, why not? I agree. And more important than that, you know, ABA saved my tushy. ABA saved my life. Thank you. And I know that without ABA, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have the life I have today. And without being of service to ABA, maybe ABA wouldn't be here for the still suffering out there. And I want ABA to be there. Not that I'm like the, you know, like I don't keep ABA alive. I know that. But it's for me, I get to give back just a little bit of what people gave to me. And in doing that, there is an opportunity for ABA to grow and be there. And again, selfishly, to keep me sane and sober. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And you've really, hit the nail on the head. And I'm doing this to keep me sane and sober as well. amazing. So we've come to the end of our panel shares. So it's now over to everyone in this call, whether you're a panel member or you're someone listening and learning and being inspired as I am being. If you have any questions, please raise your hand in the chat and I can select you. They can be directed at people or they can be general. I don't know how I'll cope with that because we have quite a few speakers, but we'll figure it out as we go. So over to everyone. Don't be shy. If anyone has anything.
One thing I'd like to do is share a little bit about the self-support committee.
Absolutely. Okay. What I'll do is why don't you do that now? And then we'll see if any questions come. If no one has any questions, we'll do a quick fire. Everyone that has spoken today, just saying what their committee is that we've asked them to speak about at this service workshop, just really quick. So Judy, please, be the guiding light and okay. Go for it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. I have been unable to put my information unblocked somehow, so I'm just going to say it out loud. So if someone wants to get a hold of me to talk about the self-support committee or the public relations committee, or if they're interested, there's another part to the inventory committee that we have not been able to do because we don't have enough manpower to do it, which would be looking at the relationship between the board and the fellowship. We've done a general overview, and that was supposed to be the second part, and it's basically deferred until further notice. So I'm in Toronto, Eastern Standard Time. So Dawn, Karen, and I currently sit on the committee. It is so much fun being on this committee. As the public information is like a warm bath, the self-support committee is more like a cold shower. And what I mean by that is there's lots of inappropriate humor at times. I think it's the personality mix possibly, but we're really in a huge state of creativity right now. I'm sure Dawn could also share about that. But lots of laughter, lots of ideas, lots of excitement about how to ensure the viability. Don't be scared off by the term self-support committee. It is not just, we're not here about the money, right? Our seventh tradition is about service as well. That's why we've been very keen, we're very keen about doing workshops. I think this may be our fourth workshop. And we love the idea of getting ideas. I mean, we didn't come up with these ourselves, the surrender workshop, all these workshops. The next two are going to be one on sponsorship because people have asked us over and over again. Another one is on meal support. So on sobriety. So that's going to be, again, two more workshops, one on traditions. So if you want to get involved, you don't have to be a committee member. You could be a one-off at the committee, come up with an idea and say how you want to be a part of it. We do tend to meet in the evenings. And that could be flexible. Like right now we're meeting at 7 Eastern Standard Time usually, or 6 or 7 o'clock. But I would say right now we're kind of on fire, which is absolutely wonderful, but we absolutely could use support. There's just the three of us. That's why it's so exciting to have the GSRs or the former GSRs come on board to help support, you know, the viability of the self-support committee. The newsletter is coming out. Dawn just finished it. It's gonna be published really soon, and we'd love your ideas around that as well. So thanks.
Thank you so much. So it doesn't look like we have any hands raised. If anyone is struggling to raise their hand and would like to just unmute themselves, if they have any questions about service, please do. If not, I'll go to a quick fire what people have been speaking about today, what committees. Harvey S., over to you.
Yes. This question is for Joan. When she was telling background, the name of ABA, she said it was something before that. Can she speak on that? It was kind of a funny name.
Yeah, it was a very funny name, believe me. We called ourselves the Lunatic Fringe because we recognized that we were on the fringe of eating disorder recovery because we were using an addiction model, which was very, very new in those days in 93. We were using an addiction model at the 12 steps. So we were on the fringes of eating disorder treatment / recovery. And we saw ourselves as a bunch of nuts. So we called ourselves the Lunatic Fringe. And the first few phone lists that we had, that's what was at the top of them, the Lunatic Fringe. Here's our membership, here are our phone numbers. And that's just how we started. And Anorexics and Bulimics Anonymous came to us after we seriously had taken the steps and adapted them to the needs of ABA. And, you know, we admitted we were powerless over our insane eating practices, that our lives had become unmanageable. And so then we decided to go with Anorexics and Bulimics Anonymous. And that was, as I say, in 95, after we had the concept of sobriety is surrender and the way to get sober is by receiving meal support. Those were the key concepts that made a huge shift. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And Dawn, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, this is to Amy. I'm Dawn, I'm anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive eater. There's an annual general meeting coming up and there's a resolution coming up. What's the importance of everybody showing up to the AGM?
Thanks, Dawn. So just with the AGM, that's the time when, and it's a time when the fellowship has the votes. And so it's when you choose your board. And so we make decisions, better decisions by group conscience. So the more voices we have, the better. And so it's really the fellowship, it's a meeting of the fellowship. So it's important that as many people as possible come. And we're going to have a resolution, a special resolution to change the number of directors we have on the board, the minimum number that we need to have. And the people who make that decision for us are you, are everybody in the fellowship. So we need 75% of the members in attendance at the AGM to make that decision. So, it's basically a time to say, this is who I want to represent me in terms of those taking care of the day-to-day business of the board, which supports the fellowship. So that's on March 20th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And it's when, and it's a good time if you have at least a year of sobriety and would like to serve on the board. It would be great to come and be voted in on that day. So I've put my phone number and email in the chat box. So if that is something that interests you, please let me know so that we can, that way you can start your service or continue your service journey and see how we make decisions for the nuts and bolts of ABA. So thanks, Dawn, for posing that question. I was going to talk about our need for directors as well. So it's a great time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amy. And I just want to echo, as someone based in the UK, that at all levels, whether group obviously is in London, committee or board level, everyone's been so flexible with time zones. So if you are not based in the kind of EST zone, so Canada or the US, don't fret. It can always be flexible and you can always do service, just from my experience. Okay, so there are no more questions. I think, Amy, you've mentioned the AGM coming up, but let me know if you have anything else you want to say. I'm going to start let's go with committee level. Bongi, that isn't to exclude you. You've done a fantastic job at talking about group level, but at committee level, could we go through and just state what committee you guys are part of? Are there opportunities for service and so on? I can read people out in order. Let me just get this up. So if Hayley, I know this is GSR, so not really a committee, but would you like to say anything about the GSR?
Hi, yeah, and also actually touch on the literature committee that I forgot to talk about earlier. So yeah, the GSR really needs people to support it. It does tend to fluctuate, and at the moment it's definitely there's the chair position is open and it's not very well supported. That's the honest truth. And you know, for the fellowship to be healthy, it is good, as I was saying earlier, for people to be able to really keep the communication within the fellowship going. And also the literature committee, it's very exciting that we are concocting a meditation book. And many of you have been involved probably in a meditation meeting. So groups are being encouraged, you know, like the fifth meeting of the month or, you know, occasionally to run a meeting. And there is a script that actually is going to be just okay before it's put on the website. But if you go to the meditation tab on the website, you can click archives, you can see lots of examples, and there's also information about how to write it. So it's a lovely way for anybody, a newcomer to an old timer, to do a bit of service. And yeah, it's very exciting. So that, as in line with other fellowships, you can have your daily reading with your quiet time. Thanks.
Amazing, thank you. Tiffany, you're up next.
Yeah, thanks, this is Tiffany. I just stepped off camera for a bit, but yeah, I'm going to be chairing the retreat committee. So we'll probably kick that off sometime beginning of April. And we, what we did last year is we met once a month at a set time that worked for everyone who had signed up to be a part of that committee. And we held the retreat kind of like mid-September. So it's a 6-month commitment, like a once a month commitment. So we will be looking for folks who want to be a part of that committee. There's no time requirement. Anyone is welcome. The retreat will be held virtually. It's international. And we'll also be looking for speakers and other folks to be of service outside of those who might be on the committee. So if you're interested in getting involved, or have more questions about it, my number is in the chat and feel free to reach out.
Fantastic, thank you so much. Judy.
I don't know that there's anything else for me to share because the
apologies.
Virtual-
Yes.
I think I've shared everything and yeah, thank you.
No, absolutely. I'm in autopilot reading a list. So, Alison, do you have anything to share?
Nothing's coming to mind particularly. Just immense gratitude for the opportunities I have had and for what I've learned from all that. And again, just reiterating as what was shared, the interest in having more people join, because it is so rewarding and it's not, you know, a heavy commitment to take on, but like the benefits are just immense, especially if it means that like ABA continues to like grow and thrive. It's just like so powerful. I don't know, are there any other kind of like questions or things that you would want me to touch on based on, you know, what I've shared so far? Or
I think if no one has any, then I think we'll move on to Joan. Amy, you have your hand up. And Dawn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there's another committee that I wanted to highlight under the board is the website committee. The literature committee has already been alluded to, the public information committee, the inventory committee has been alluded to, but the website committee could use help too, and they're trying to just streamline the website. So if you have any ideas on how to better the website, especially for newcomers, that's a good committee to join, and there's no sobriety requirement. So anyone can come and do committee work without being on the board, or you can be on the board and also do committee work. So all the committees need support, but that's another one that can be quite fun. And you know, you can just get your creative ideas heard and put into place and in all these ways. So that's just another committee that I wanted to highlight. Thank you.
Amazing, thank you. Dawn, did you have a question?
I have a question for Allison, but I first just want to say to those that are left with regards to the newsletter. Right now, the newsletter is called Your Newsletter, but I would like submissions for what you would like to call Your Newsletter. I'll put my information in the chat, but Allison, can you still hear me? Yeah, we're good. Is there a sobriety requirement? And didn't you get a new member lately that brought some new, places to send out books to?
Yeah. Thanks, Dawn. We do. We had a new member join recently from England, from the UK. And yeah, again, how fantastic is that? Because we wouldn't otherwise really have any experience with treatment centers and community facilities in the UK. So to have her direct experience and recommendations, and she's already done so much legwork. She's like on fire. It's so awesome. So we're growing our database of UK locations as well. So that's really awesome. And to answer your question, Judy and Amy have to help me out this one, because my memory is so poor around what we've set, if anything, for a sobriety requirement. I feel like we brought that up a while back and I can't remember what it was. Amy or Judy, do you remember? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think the sobriety requirement is only for the chair.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So you don't really need a sobriety requirement to help us spread the word.
Yeah.
You know, to bring it to places that people with eating disorders would be accessing.
Yeah, I think it was, we set requirements, we were talking about requirements for like speaking engagements at specific events, and that might be something that we address, you know, on an as needed basis. Yes. But yeah, just to participate in the committee, we've got very open door. So yeah, that's great. I hope that answers the question.
And I just want to say how important it is for the PI committee has had 3 Canadians on it. That's pretty limiting. As far as, like, we've had guests come and tell us about the United States, and thank God now we've got Alice joining us. But people from other countries, it's phenomenally helpful to us. Even if you don't come and make a regular commitment, to even come join us to tell us about what your experience is would be just invaluable. We had Myra come and she gave us a lot of great information about the States and the treatment centers. So yeah, we would love to have people from other countries if they could just come in, you know, one visit. And we're during the day, which is kind of neat. So we're not at night, the PI committee. So we're like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to accommodate Europeans. So that may work also for Australia and other areas. So yeah, please think about just even coming, joining us for a short period of time. Thank you.
Amazing. And we have Irene, apologies if I'm mispronouncing your name, as a question.
No problem. Irene here. I just wanted to ask, just on this topic, if there are plans for translations of the literature in other languages.
I can answer that. Our book, Irene, is currently, it's already been translated into Hebrew. It's just right now, it's an unofficial translation that's being used in Israel, and they are finishing the official translation. We already have it, the book partially translated into Spanish. That needs to be completed. And then we are looking at translating it into French. So right now the preamble in Spanish is on the website, and the Hebrew translation is being used in as an unofficial, practical, it's an unofficial copy, and they're having it reviewed by a translator just to make sure that it's rock solid, and then they'll have an official translation. And Russian, I don't know that we've started Russian yet. Have we, Arye?
No.
No. But there has been some interest.
There was some work on a Russian translation. There's been work on a German translation, and there's been work on a Korean translation, and all of those are at an early stage.
And do you need any support with translating in those existing selected languages?
We could probably use help, and what we need to the greater fellowship is funds that can be targeted for those translations, so that we can get a translator to help us once first of all, someone can translate it or help us to translate it into the language. So someone who's speaking those languages could assist with that. And then we get it approved by an official translator, like a professional translator. Anyone who knows those languages can certainly help.
Fantastic. So
they could let us know.
Amazing. I'm aware of time. We've got a few minutes left. Any of the final committee members committee or board level members, would anyone like to announce their committee that hasn't done so already? If not, I think it's Amy, you made the very kind of apt thing about Tradition 7, which obviously, as someone said, isn't simply about finances, but that is an important thing. And just a reminder that as with everything in ABA, this workshop, there's a suggested donation, and just we hopefully will be able to then put that towards continuing ABA's achievements in all of these areas. Yes, Joan, your hand's up.
I'd just like to put out an appeal to everybody to think about 2023, which will be our 30th anniversary, February 18th, 2023. And perhaps for next year, instead of a virtual retreat, we could consider an in-person international conference, which we tend to do those every 5 years. So I'm hoping that that will be an option. But that international travel will be open by then, and planning can begin for that international conference. It takes about a year of planning. So that's just an appeal, because it's always wonderful to have those conferences. We started in 2008. Amy talked about that. Then we had 2013 in Dallas, 2018 was scheduled for, 2013 was Dallas, 2018 was scheduled for Florida, but it didn't come off because it was just, there wasn't enough registration. So 2023 is our next opportunity. Thanks.
So it's time to start planning.
Yeah.
Who wants to lift their hand up in that higher power way that everyone's alluded to? Shaheen, you're waving. Is that to nominate yourself?
No. That's for me to say goodbye, everybody. I got to go. Thank you so much to the committee.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye, I think we're very to time, which is great as a controlling anorexic. I like that. So I think we will leave it there. But just once again, thank you to everyone that's spoken today. And yeah, to Leslie and Dawn and myself, I'll give myself a pat and say thank you to, organising this and the idea between DSR and self-support committee to work together. I think it's a beautiful thing that I believe will continue going forward. So thank you, everyone. And we'll put the recording on the website. Dawn, do you have anything else to say?
No, maybe if we just close with a prayer and
absolutely.
Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks Great. For sharing, Becca.
Yes.
Okay, so let's lead out with the Serenity Prayer, using God as you do or will come to understand. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.